I don't think anybody would disagree that our world is hurting right now. Whether it's sickness or fear or panic in the streets or injustice, our world is hurting right now. And I don't think anybody in this room would disagree that God can help. But how? Well, it's not the first time our world has been in trouble. And one time, God stepped in to help by sending a prophet named Isaiah to be the voice of truth in the middle of competing voices, to be the voice of comfort for people who were hurting. God sent Isaiah. That was his way of helping. And God had to prepare him to be helpful. We can learn a lot from that story. Here's the story of how God prepared Isaiah to be a help to hurting people. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe, the hem of his robe, it filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "Look, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." The word of the Lord. The world was hurting. God could help, and this is how he got Isaiah ready to be helpful. He could have done all sorts of things, but what God did to help a hurting world was prepare this man's heart by convincing him of three truths that we can learn today too. God convinced Isaiah, God is holy, I'm a mess, and God makes me clean. And God taught Isaiah that by showing him things. Isaiah learned with his eyes. And he showed him some pretty significant details. Isaiah saw God on a throne like a king. He's way up high on a throne. It's pretty intimidating. And his robe is so big that it fills the room. Can you imagine that? That's a scary vision, isn't it? And this king, God, huge robe, throne room, it's got royal attendants in it, but they're not human. They're these mythical creatures. Some people think angels. Some people think maybe creatures that resemble animals in some way. Some people think it's totally a separate thing, a creation out of this world. Seraphim. They got six wings, and they're flying actually above the throne. So you got this majestic king surrounded by seraphim, and they're shouting at one another, "Holy! Holy!" Can you imagine Isaiah trying to take that in? Like, what did his face look like? As he's hearing this deafening noise, as he's seeing all this going on? What's God teaching him? He's teaching him, "Isaiah, I'm up here, and you're way down here." It's good for Isaiah to know that, wasn't it? Good for God, Isaiah to know that God is holy. And sometimes we think holy means that you don't do any sins, and that's true, and God doesn't do any sins, but there's another layer to that word. It means unique. The one and only. God is the one and only King of the world. God is the one and only who's worshipped by seraphim. God is the one and only source of all life, and it's good for us to see God is holy, so unique, and we are so small beneath him. That way we take God seriously. And maybe that's part of what Trinity Sunday can do for us. Like, we know the right words for the Trinity. God is one God, not three gods, but he's three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's three, he's one. Doesn't make sense, but we believe it. And after the sermon, we're going to confess parts of the Athanasian Creed. It's probably the least used creed in our public worship services. And it defines the Trinity. It tries to do it in detail. And if your brain works like mine, as we're saying this back and forth to each other, your mouth will say the right words, your eyes will see the right words, but at some point your brain's going to tune out and say, what am I even saying? Like, what does this mean? You know why that is? Because we're having an experience in that little moment, just like Isaiah did when he saw the Lord. That God is so big, our little brains can't even comprehend it. And it's good for us to recognize how unique God is, how holy God is, so that we take him seriously. God is holy. And he teaches us that. But Isaiah was not holy. Isaiah was far from holy. In fact, he got the message real quick. When at the sound of those voices, those seraphim voices, he realized what was going on. Because he knew the stories. He knew the story of when Moses and those Israelites went to meet God on Mount Sinai. And when the mountain shook and the mountain filled with smoke, Isaiah's remembering that right now the temple is shaking and filling with smoke. And at that time, when Moses and his people met God, God came to speak to them. And they were terrified by the earthquake and the smoke. And then it got even worse because then God started talking. And God said stuff like, you shall have no other gods. Honor your father and mother. You shall not commit adultery. God gave the Ten Commandments. He said, do this. And the people were even more afraid because they did not do that. In fact, in that instant, God vaporized their pride, emptied them of any self-righteousness, and they knew that they were a mess. In fact, they knew it so much that they cried out to Moses. They said, Moses, don't let God speak to us anymore, or we will die. And that's right, because that's what happens to sinners. In the presence of a holy God. They knew they were a mess. And so when Isaiah saw it, he knew he was a mess too. And God ended up giving more laws than just the Ten Commandments. He wanted to give people a way to recognize God's holiness without dying by seeing him face to face. And so he set up rules like, I'm holy and my house is holy. My tabernacle, my temple, this place is clean. It's the source of life. And so if you, people, ever touch anything that has to do with death, then you're unclean. And I don't want you coming into my clean house when you're unclean. So if you touch a diseased body, you're unclean. I don't want you in my clean house. And if you touch a dead body, you're unclean. I don't want you in my clean house. Well, that's how it went in the Old Testament. God's rules separated death and sin from his holiness. And Isaiah found himself in God's holiness, and he only had one conclusion. He said, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. In that instant, God vaporized Isaiah's pride. He emptied him of his self-righteousness. And he knew he was a mess. What about you? Are you a mess? The truth about our world is that it's really messed up because people like you and me do really messed up things. We mess up our relationships with our family, especially when we're locked inside with each other for months on end. We mess up our relationships with our community. We mess up justice. We mess up peace. We're messed up people and we do messed up things, but you might miss that about yourself if you don't see God's holiness. Like, if I compare myself to neo-Nazis, I look pretty good. Like, they hate everybody. And I don't hate everybody. If I do that, I might miss the part of me that looks down on anybody who has a different opinion than mine. And if you compare yourself to people who rob department stores and loot in the streets, you look pretty good too. But if you only compare yourself there, you'll miss the part of you that wants to take advantage of every situation for your own benefit. And if you and I spent one moment in God's holiness, we would see what Isaiah saw, what those Israelites saw, what Moses saw. We would say, our pride is vaporized, our self-righteousness is gone, I'm a mess. That's what those Old Testament Israelites learned over and over again. Every time they went to a funeral, they had to say, I'm unclean. Every time they got sick, I'm unclean. And that's how it happened. When a clean thing touched an unclean thing, it got polluted. It got ruined. It got dirty. Until this happened. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Realize what happened there. A clean thing touched an unclean thing and it didn't get ruined. Instead, it transferred holiness to the unclean thing. That's the first time that's happened. But it's not the last time that's happened. Because when Jesus showed up on this planet, he was proclaimed to be the holiness of God in human form. And he walked around Judea touching unclean stuff. He would walk up to a person with a deadly disease and touch him, and Jesus didn't get polluted. The disease left. Jesus would walk up to a dead body and touch it, but Jesus didn't get unclean. The person came to life. Jesus just walked around the world touching things and making them holy, making them clean. Until the day he became unclean. See, Jesus wasn't just dispensing holiness. He was collecting our mess. Jesus, like a sponge, soaked up all the sin and shame of those Israelites who were terrified at Mount Sinai. Jesus, like a magnet, attracted Isaiah's sin onto himself. And Jesus has taken responsibility for all the messes that you and I have made in our lives. And he paid the price for that. He died. And he went into a grave, as unclean as that is. But because he is the Son of God, he did what he always does. He cleaned it. He conquered death. And he rose from the grave to guarantee that your sin is gone. Or the way Isaiah said it or heard it, your sin is atoned for. And because of that, Isaiah could stand in the presence of an almighty God and not die. Because of this act of unprompted generosity by Jesus, you someday, you will stand in the presence of the holy God in all his glory, and you will not die, but you'll live in that glory. It's all because Jesus has taken away your sin. God is holy, and I'm a mess, but God has made me clean in Jesus. That is exactly what Isaiah needed to know before he could be of any help to his hurting world. God could have given him cultural sensitivity training. God could have given him public speaking lessons, but he didn't. He convinced him that God is holy, I'm a mess, and only God can make me clean. The same is true of you and I, right? Just like God declared Isaiah clean, and Isaiah was in no place to argue with the holy God who called him clean, you and I have been declared innocent too. We stood up here, and we stood up in this church, right, a couple minutes ago, and you confessed, I am by nature sinful, and I have sinned against God in my thoughts, words, and actions. And that's true. You're saying, I'm a mess. But you are not your past, and you are not your sins. You are what the Lord Almighty declares you to be. He has called you innocent. And so I stood here and said, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you are in no position to argue with a holy God. God has declared you clean. What else has He declared about you? Well, He said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the thing that makes this world interesting. And you are the only thing keeping it from going bad. And you are the light of the world. You are what shines the light of truth on things so people can see what's really going on. And you are the only hope during dark days. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. God has declared it. And God could have given you cultural sensitivity training. He could have given you public speaking lessons, but instead, He's equipped you for that task by convincing you of three things. If God is holy, I'm a mess, and only God can make me clean. Right now, our world is hurting. Our nation is restless, and more close to home, our neighbors are afraid. What would be the impact if we took to heart Isaiah's three lessons? What if we started every morning convinced of these things? How would your conversations look different? How would your interactions with your family, coworkers, and community, how would it look different if you were convinced that your pride was vaporized because you're a mess, but God has made you clean? How would my connection to my people at my house and my people here, how would our relationship look different if it wasn't based on how much we agree, but if it was based on the unconditional love of God who has made us both clean? You see, you do not need to see God on a throne high and exalted to have that kind of revolution. The Lord our God can help us with what we already know from His Word. If every morning we took 5 minutes, what if just tomorrow morning, each one of us took 5 minutes to come to grips with the messes we've made? We started our day with, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God, for my sins. Well, then, we could rejoice in the most glorious truth that the Holy God has ever told us, that He has taken away our sins and we are not going to die. You know, that coming to terms where God has declared us clean, that makes a huge difference. And each one of us has what our hurting world desperately needs most of all. All of us can share the love of Jesus, but Isaiah was called to do it publicly, to do it professionally, to spend his career saying this truth. And so I just want to take a moment to talk to the kids and the teenagers here. Yeah, you. Because you have so many things that you could do with your whole life. You have so many ways you could serve God and help our hurting world. And one of them would be to publicly, professionally, spend your career telling people about a Father who loves them, a Savior who died for them, and a Spirit who can change people's hearts every day, one day at a time. Being a prophet, being a pastor is a privilege, and you could train. You could pursue being a staff minister like Mr. Liebhard, who's making the technology work so you can hear about Jesus, or like Mrs. Neuer, who recorded some of the beautiful music we just heard. You could be a teacher, like one of the Christian school teachers who spends their days training to tell kids about Jesus. You could be a pastor. It's a mighty privilege to get to share this news all day long. And it's really not based on how smart you are or how well you can make decisions or how good you are at talking to people. It's really based on what we all get to practice every day. And so all of us can start this training today. Because it's all based on knowing three truths: that God is holy, that I'm a mess, and that God has made me clean. May God grant that to each and every one of us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that goes beyond all our understanding, may that guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.